Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome, everyone, to The On-Call Room. We are a deep diving podcast. We're watching Grey's Anatomy. We're on season 19, episode 13 and 14. If you haven't watched all of season 19, I highly recommend you hit pause on this podcast, go back, watch Grey's Anatomy up into the entirety of what has been released, because we are a spoilers podcast.
Yes. Also, if you are a listener and you have caught up with us and you want more and you are not a patron yet, highly recommend supporting us by our Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. There is a Facebook group you can be a member of. There is bonus episodes. We will be releasing our November one. I think by the time you are listening to this, it could be out already, but it's a great crossover episode with our fellow podcast friends, Beach Houses and Babies, who do a private practice podcast. So if you want to get that, that's our bonus episode for the month. It's very fun. We also, again, by the time you're hearing this, we do a Zoom hangout every month where we hang out with our $10 patrons. It's so much fun. We don't just always talk about Grey's. I feel like it's like a great little group of people. Also, don't be nervous. Like, there are some people who it's their first time, but it's really not like confrontational. If you just want to have your camera off and listen, you are more than welcome to do that. But it's a really lovely group of people. We'd love to have you there and support us through the holiday season and keep us putting out weekly episodes. You can do that at patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can also follow us on Instagram at @theoncallroompod. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. 5 stars, 5 scalpels, please. And one of the things we do if you are a $10 patron is our post-op, which is after we call time of death. If you're listening on the Patreon app, we keep talking for a little bit. And today we're going to talk about the fact that Grey's released the date when the new season will be starting, season 20, and we're going to give you our thoughts on that. So if you want to know what we're thinking, please support us. And honestly, thank you. It's been like 5 or 6 years of your support, and it means a lot.
It sure does.
Good news, guys. Wait, can I announce your news that you passed?
Oh, sure. Yeah, please
passed an important test, everyone.
I did. Maybe a half hour ago, I passed my licensure exam. So need that in order to do my job. And it was really stressful. And when I saw the email that said the word pass in it, I burst into tears. I think I was just like so overwhelmed of the thought of having to do that again. And I don't have to. So
our baby girl is going to graduate. And that is so exciting. So we're really happy for you. All of you have been here since the beginning before you even started grad school, and which is a wild journey.
I know. And now here I am at the end of it. I will be walking in graduation like mid-December. So
wow.
I know. Cannot believe it.
Were we doing the podcast? No, we weren't doing the podcast when you graduated undergrad. That was longer ago.
No.
What am I thinking? Maybe you got a new job. There was something that happened. Maybe, I don't know. There was something.
I quit my job.
Maybe that's it.
I got married. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I did not doubt you. Also, I sent you a screenshot of a video. Do you all, I'm talking to you listeners, remember when we all used Facebook a lot back in the day, and you could record videos on Facebook and like post them to people's walls? Mm-hmm. I feel like our freshman year of college, that's like what we did when we were bored in the dorms. Mm-hmm. And One showed up on my memories today, and it's like 15 years ago, and it's you making a funny face, and all you're doing is just like making weird noises, and you put it on my wall. Yeah, those exact noises. And the caption is, because she wasn't your roommate, but she was a friend of ours. She's like, Sarah farted in the background. And that is what was posted on my wall. And I just said, I saw that and I knew you were taking this like very important test. And I was like, wow, how far we've come.
Yeah. I had a, like, the test was like 100 questions and then you get a 15 minute break. You don't have to take the whole break, but you can. And you can like get up and move around, go to the bathroom, do whatever you want. And then you have 100 more questions. And so you can't go back to those original 100 questions once you submit those. Because obviously you get up so you could like go look up whatever. But in the middle of my 15 minute, I got up, I stretched, I went to the bathroom, and then you can't have your phone by you. So I checked my phone and I had that message from you, and it really pumped me up to do the second half of my exam. So thank you for that.
We are just nothing but, what are those called, Russian dolls? Those little like the dolls that go inside of each other? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. We are nothing but Russian dolls of old versions of ourselves. And somewhere deep inside this now licensed person is that person. And that brings me so much joy.
Yeah, it's great. How are you?
I'm good. It's Thanksgiving week when we're recording this, which normally I'm like very excited for. Our Thanksgiving plans are kind of bleh this year because Jake works on Thanksgiving and just we aren't hosting like we normally do. And so I'm feeling less excited about it than I normally am. But it'll be fine. It'll be great still. But I would say today the biggest thing that happened is that I got out of the shower and I needed Jake to put lotion on my legs because it was just too hard to reach them. And then I also needed him to put my compression socks on because it was just too hard to do that also. And thankfully he was here and he wasn't annoyed. He was very nice, but I could also tell that he was like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, really? And I was just like, I really can't. And so that's where I'm at.
You've reached that stage.
You
no longer can put your compression socks on, but you need to be wearing compression socks. And so who will put them on when Jake's not around?
I'll just leave them on for days. I need to get one of those things my dad had when we had back surgery. Forget what it's called, but it's like a thing you put in your sock on it and then you put your foot. It's so you don't have to like bend over to put your sock on. Compression socks are just so tight, which is the purpose of them. And they're like not stretchy, you know, they're like weird cotton. They're also, I don't think there's anything less attractive than me naked in compression socks. Like, I think there is just something about them. I don't even care if they're like the coolest looking socks. It's just the whole idea is just not something I love. So
I mean, there's nothing really sexy about compression socks.
That's what I mean though. They're just like something, they're inherently non-sexy about them. And so I guess socks in general, maybe, but
anyone with socks on who's also naked is like, take your socks off. Like, I don't want to look at you like that. I feel like you're attacking me and don't do that.
Yeah. Also, I will just say, recommendation wise, this is not a unique recommendation, but I've been really working hard on editing. Like, I've been trying to get everything wrapped up before December. And, I've gone through two seasons of Law & Order SVU. I didn't realize I was two seasons behind. And wow, it's a lot of dark stuff to watch one after the other. But also, it's so good. And like, there's new characters in and out, you know, but Stabler shows up once in a while now. And that always fun.
And had you seen that when he came back yet or no?
I had, but I hadn't seen like, there's just more of it, you know? And
yeah.
And, I just really love this show. It's kind of like a constant, you know, like it just like it's there. You know what to expect. Not much has changed. And I am deeply grateful. So you should all keep watching it is my
review. Yeah, I love
that
show. Ugh. Yeah.
Thank God we're not doing a podcast on it, though. I literally could not imagine being like, so there was another victim.
Yeah.
Like it's just. But there was some dark, dark shit in this one. Also, Ice-T is just so great. It's a classic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I've been watching, but This is actually kind of funny. So, you know, sometimes I like to put something on the TV when I'm trying to fall asleep. And John was working on his computer in bed. And I was like, I'm just going to put something on in the background, which I know is not good for sleep hygiene. Everyone, don't come at me. But I put on like an early season of Grey's Anatomy. And
how unique.
Right. But then John, we were like a few minutes into the episode and John was like, could you put Gilmore Girls on instead of Grey's Anatomy? And I said, what? Why? And he was like, because I don't know. I just like Gilmore Girls is like funnier and I would prefer to have that in the background than Grey's Anatomy. And so he had me put on Gilmore Girls. Yeah, I know.
Does he know we have a podcast?
I think it was like stressing him out, you know, like he was working on something and Gilmore Girls is just so fluff in the background.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I was like, rude. I want to watch season 4 of Grey's Anatomy and fall asleep to that. Thank you very much.
This is very calming to me.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so I love that he voiced his opinion, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
But it's a bummer for you.
Oh, we also watched Les Mis the other day.
The one with Anne Hathaway? Like the, I guess that's the only one. I don't know that there's another movie version. That is honestly, I was really excited. That came out around Christmas one year.
It did. 2012, yeah, I think.
I really liked it. Like, I know people like shit on it, parts of it. I think they only shit on Russell Crowe.
Oh, Russell Crowe is so bad in it. And I have... for days in my head, the way he sings that stuck in my head and like how Russell Crowe sings it. So I do regret that, but I had a great time watching it. And so did John. Like, I mean, I've seen it before.
The girl who sings On My Own. I can't remember her name. It's not Eponine, is it? It is Eponine. Yeah, I love that version specifically of that song. That's one when if I want to be like just really theatrical in my car, I will put on, because it's also a lower register. So I feel like I can sometimes like pretend I'm hitting the notes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your thought? Oh, also, I didn't realize. Okay, so since I've become more of a theater person since like 2016 or 2017 is when I like... re-remembered that I like theater, I have become aware of Aaron Tveit, who is like a Broadway guy, but he plays the guy in like Empty Chairs at Empty Tables, the one who dies, whatever, like the soldier guy.
Yeah, not Marius, but the other guy.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, not Newt Scamander.
The dude who's really hot. Yeah. And yes, he falls out the window with the flag. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And he sings the song in Moulin Rouge, the musical that like went viral because he's just epic in it. And he's about to be the new Sweeney Todd also on Broadway. So anyways, I didn't realize that I had known him from this movie before. So
sure.
He's super hot.
He was. We were watching it and I said to John, like, I always thought that guy was really hot. And then there was no response. It's like, okay, just so you know, that guy's really hot.
Empty Chairs at Empty Tables will also make me cry if I'm in the wrong headspace.
Oh,
if I'm
driving. Yeah. It's one of the most depressing musicals. Everyone dies in the end. Everyone. Besides Marius and
does Borat Cosette. Die?
Well, I don't think he dies either, but
I love whatever. That he's in it also. I love the part in, I think it's like the very end when they're singing, but like everyone comes back. And then there's the part when I'm naming all of these people by their actor names because I can't remember. Anne Hathaway like is dead, but is singing, you know, comes back. Like that part is just, it's really good.
It's very powerful. It's very, very powerful.
Also, our friends have sang those songs at karaoke nights.
I always sing. Ben, Annie, and I always sing the, what's the one? No. The one where all of the different parts come in.
Yeah,
One Day More. We sing One Day More.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. And if you sing that at karaoke, at one point there will be like 8 different options you can choose on the screen and it becomes very complicated. So not a good karaoke song to sing.
What? We should perfect it though with like eight people, you know, like get like everyone assigned a part. That would be really fun. And then go to an actual karaoke bar and record.
Instead of just doing karaoke in my living room. Yeah.
Well, that's the only place I feel safe enough to do karaoke.
Yeah, I don't think I have done karaoke at a karaoke bar since COVID.
Since before the pandemic.
Yeah, that's what I mean before, not during COVID. I wasn't going out to karaoke bars.
No, but that's when Rails Roarners opened, which was your karaoke bar. So I don't know. Karaoke's great. I just...
Also naming it Rails Roarners is so stupid.
It's because there's a karaoke bar, listeners, called that was called Kale's...
Kale's Corner.
Corner. There was Corner in it.
Yeah. Kale's Corner.
And it was her sister Rachel's birthday. So we did Rails
Roarner.
That is one of our more brilliant ideas.
Yeah. And then we played like Wii Bowling. It was because it was during COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah. Uh huh. And also that same, God, we did karaoke outside at your house in 2020 when you all hung out outside. And I have like, there's like videos of us like on the ground on your deck, like laying and singing. Like it got performative.
Well, last New Year's Eve at my New Year's Eve party, we did karaoke at my house.
Yeah. It's just something that sort of happened. I'm surprised we didn't do it at your wedding, to be honest.
I am kind of surprised that didn't happen.
But maybe it's time. We haven't done it in
maybe
a while.
During our like vow renewal someday we'll have it at a karaoke bar.
I think that's a great idea. Also, your what birthday was it of yours that we bought all casino themed decor? Was that
was
30th?
My 30th. Yeah, because we wanted to go to Las Vegas for my bachelorette party and my 30th birthday, but then COVID happened. So you guys just did casino themed at my house, which was great. And then we sang karaoke.
Yeah. So
it was like Office, like when they have a casino night or whatever.
Yes, it was. Good times. We've had really good times.
We have had really good times, and there are more good times to come.
Nope, they're done. The good times are done.
It's been great. Okay, should we get into the... Take a quick break, and then we should probably get into these episodes.
Let's do it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, great. Welcome back. We are going to today be talking about season 19, episode 13 and 14, Cowgirls Don't Cry and Shadow of Your Love. I cannot believe that the song Cowgirls Don't Cry is an actual song.
Yeah, neither can I.
I just keep thinking of Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie. sure, I'll go first.
Also, that was by the Four Seasons too, wasn't it?
Big Girls Don't Cry. Oh, does Fergie cover it? I'm sure. I know nothing.
Yeah.
Big girls don't cry. That was on the radio for what felt like 15 years.
You don't know. Big girls don't cry. Big girls, they don't cry. You know Frankie Valli and Four Seasons? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I from your rendition there, I'm not quite sure, but I will look it up.
Look it up. Look it up. Okay, you go first.
Okay, this is by Meredith Gray. Every life on the planet begins as a single cell, which splits and multiplies over and over again. Each cell has a purpose, and as it forms, internal and external forces converge on it, signaling to the cell what it will become. We call this process differentiation. An arm, a bone, a brain, all cells take a journey from generalized to specialized. They go from nothing to something, or what you could be to what you are. At a cellular level, we are made of forks in the road. A generalized cell is born and it splits and splits, not having much choice in the matter. Eventually, it's a body. Eventually, it's you out in the world. So maybe you are who you are. Maybe you can't choose who you love or what you want any more than a cell can choose to be a liver, a lung, a heart. But cells only take you so far. In the end, you create yourself and your life is the life you've made. But no one said it would be easy. Meredith Gray.
The human body has three systems of communication: the nervous, endocrine, and immune systems. When any of these systems experience a malfunction, it can wreak havoc on the body. effective communication between surgeons in the OR is just as essential. When a life is at stake, there is no time or space for body language or carefully chosen words. But no matter how hard we try, there's always a risk of being misunderstood or simply unheard. When we don't feel heard or validated, it can be very easy to forget that we aren't actually alone and that there is a difference between being alone and just feeling alone. Sometimes being alone is the only way we can hear our own hearts trying to communicate what it is that we actually want, what we need, and who we love. So we can move through this world with better communication when we actually have something important to say. And to be crystal clear, when we do. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have Seth Knight, foreign body in the intestine.
George Arkin's crush injuries, retropathic hematoma, IVC tear, T10, L3 unstable burst fractures.
William Hudson, displaced humerus fracture, abdominal contusion.
Nola Marquez, femoma, mediastinal mass syndrome, SVC syndrome, cardiac tamponade.
Grayson Friedman, ulcerative colitis, acute severe colitis. I'm confused by the George Arkins of it all because...
Me too.
That was the girl. Was her name like Georgie or something?
Maybe. I don't know, but I felt the same way. I was like, that was that one girl who fell off a...
The bull rider. Bull.
Yeah.
Perhaps our sources are mistaken. Okay, rounds. Simone and Lucas worked together on a patient named Seth, whose needs were being ignored by Richard and other doctors. They discover that he had something in his bowels, and even though they were supposed to discharge him, they save his life. After working together, Simone realizes that Lucas knows her best and asks him to be her man of honor, and he agrees.
Maggie and Winston are attending couples counseling to try and patch their marriage, but things aren't going well. Because of the article that was published, Maggie is offered an incredible job opportunity in Chicago, and Winston is upset that she is considering it. At the end of the day, Maggie brings up when Winston abandoned her on a Zoom call with his parents when things got tough, and that she feels he is abandoning their marriage now. She tells him she is going to go to Chicago to take the opportunity. And he can either join or he can stay and pretend that he was the one who was abandoned.
It's a long sentence. I apologize.
No. I was laughing at how I said join. I said join. Like, and I thought of that. I thought of that Homestead character or Homestar.
Oh, no. Do you need popcorn?
No. I got it.
Okay.
On Maggie's last day, an emergency surgery comes through that she has... to take on, and she asks Winston to help her. It's an extremely risky thymoma, but together they accomplish the impossible and save the woman's life. No. I got it. They have a moment together outside the hospital where Maggie tells Winston that she couldn't have done it without him, and then they go home and have sex.
I'm a really good writer, okay? My rounds are... poetry.
I love it. And then they go home and have sex. Okay.
It's really hard to write rounds, okay?
You do such a great job.
Levi's new fling has traveled to Arizona for a new traveling gig without telling him. He thought that Levi was just in it for sex. Period. Bailey and Elm talk to Levi about how he needs to accept that he is no longer the underdog and that he does not need to be mean and heartless to be chief resident. At the end of the day, he takes the new interns out for a drink at Joe's. And while at Joe's, Mika asks Helm if she can work at the bar with her, and Helm says she will put in a good word.
Ben drives Bailey to work because he is concerned for her safety. And when he goes to pick her up, he sees flyers on the front of the cars in the parking lot that has her photo, her address, and her phone number with the words baby killer. Ben tries to convince her to change her phone number, and she doesn't want to let them win. She then lets Mika be in charge of her phone for the day. She has over 248 missed calls and starts to understand the severity of the situation. She agrees with Ben and gets them a rental, especially after seeing a photo of Tuck that someone sent her while at school.
Kai visits Amelia for the day, and Amelia begins to have a breakdown about Meredith and Maggie abandoning her. She talks to Kai about how scared she is and how she is afraid that Kai is underestimating the lows that her mental health can go. At the end of the day, Amelia tells Kai not to go back to Minnesota, and Kai breaks the news that they are actually going to London, where they've accepted a job opening their own lab and running it.
Teddy and Owen are noticing how obvious it is that Link loves Joe, and they make multiple comments to him about it. It inspires him to do a large gesture and profess his love to her. But before she comes home, she calls Link in tears and says that the daycare thinks something is wrong with her daughter's hearing. Link cleans up the dinner and goes to help her.
First notes.
Mine was, oh boy, we have couples therapy. And then my next note was, that was criticism, Winston. He was not doing a very good job of naming something positive with Maggie.
Maggie's also not very good at those types of situations, I feel like. I just said we're starting every day with couples. We have Maggie, Winston in therapy, Lincoln and Joe sort of like abuse. Well, I thought it was going to be about like her abusing his help because she's just like, can you take, what's her daughter's name? Why can't I think of it? It's not Scout.
Luna
to, you know, daycare. And then Ben offering to drive Bailey because of security. Just a little check-in with all of our couples.
Yep.
Let's talk about Maggie Winston first.
I mean, over these two episodes, obviously, it was pretty Maggie Winston focused, I felt like. Looking at them, obviously, they're in couples therapy. So, like, things aren't going well, but they're trying. And we find out that, like, they've decided they're not going to, or they had agreed they weren't going to decide anything about their relationship until they could get into couples therapy and try and work it out there. But then in the midst of therapy, Maggie's phone goes off. She's paged. And Winston is like, of course, you're going to leave. I did find that interesting. And I don't know. Like, I was kind of like, why do you have your phone on in therapy? And then she was like, I'm on. This is a trauma call. Like, I'm on call. And then I was like, well, why are you on call and in therapy? But then I thought, well, maybe this was the only available time they had to go to therapy.
Also, I get a little upset. I understand that Winston's like frustrated that that happens, but he's a doctor too. And he would, I feel like he would understand that. Yeah. So the like quarrel about that annoys me. I liked the second episode in terms of what was happening with them better than the first one. Obviously, they get really mean at the end of the first one. I also,
what did
felt
you
like
think about that though with Maggie?
Well, Maggie bringing up the Zoom call thing felt like a really big reach of like, I'm going to pull up this one moment of when you left when things got hard and I'm going to relate it to this entire situation. It felt like it really felt reaching, you know, like I don't doubt like that moment was not fair to her and that was not the right thing for him to do. But I don't think because he did that one time that it means that he fully is gonna run away when things get hard. Like, I don't think that's what he is doing right now. But I can tell they're both just like so mad. But didn't it feel like sort of a odd thing? I was like, also, why have you not talked about that then?
Yeah, you know? I agree. The one thing that I thought was kind of insightful or interesting that she did say was giving up your gift is to avoid direct conflict. I thought that was a really interesting way to put it, and it made it less about like, oh, Maggie is so like focused on career and like if you don't follow your gifts or you know what I mean, it made it more like you're giving this up because you're unwilling to have conflict in your life or in our marriage, and that is what bothers me about it. And I was like, I could see that, but obviously the way they're in such a bad way, the way that they are talking to each other and
no, but that's a good call out, Brie, because I feel like that's the first time that we've been able to understand what she means by what she's been saying. Like, it's like, and I feel I didn't even catch that, but you're the therapist, so that makes sense. But I felt like that was like, you're right. That's like such a different perspective than how he's taking it.
Well, yeah. And I think it relates directly to the phone call she says where like you left me in that. And she talks about you always retreat. So like you're always retreating. You're always leaving and you're always avoiding me, this marriage conflict in your life in any capacity. And like, I don't want to deal with that.
And when she says, wow, I just had the thing where you're pregnant and you try to say a thought and it leaves you. But I feel that it was interesting that in that moment too, she kind of just made the decision of like, so I'm gonna go. Like there's no more discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm going to go to Chicago and you can either stay here or not. But we both really know the truth. And then like the next episode, which I don't know how much time was in between, but she's packed up. So I assume there was a bit of a time jump.
And it was weird. Like they end up working together and she has this moment at the end. And we don't really have to talk about that much of the surgery, like, unless you want to. But
no, I just was going to say it's the part I liked. It's like when Mare and Dare used to operate together and it was like two badasses supporting. Yeah. Like it's the thing I like to see when they are in a good place.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There was one part in there where like the heart starts, I don't know, tamponading, whatever it does, and then it calms down and they like say something to the gallery about like the heart didn't know how to like function without the tumor there. And Winston says, now it's alone and happy. And like looks at Maggie. And so that was interesting. But then at the end, I don't know, it's like Maggie's like on a high. They're both on a high, obviously, from like saving this person. And I don't know. Like, it didn't feel believable to me when they
Well, it's also like just avoiding the problem. I think I've thankfully never broken up with Jake, but I feel like it is a common thing when you're in a breakup that like you still have sex because you know, and so I feel like for a second, also, I think she saw him doing the thing that is so attractive to her, which is him using his gift and being smarter than her. You know what I mean? Like, I think intelligence and like his passion in that job is something that she's drawn to. And she saw that, like, and I think he also missed her and she's giving him this praise. And so it's like a double whammy of like, so let's just put aside everything that we're just fighting about for a minute. I feel like as soon as they, and I kind of remember this, but as soon as they like wake up in the morning, it's like they're mad again, you know?
Maybe. I don't remember that part. My note is Maggie and Winston have breakup sex because he accessed the jugular in a really hot way. Because that's literally what she said. She's like, you and the way you access that jugular. And then like the next scene is them like crawling on each other in bed. And I was like, wow, I guess that was really something.
She liked to see it. It's always so awkward when she's like trying to take her shoes off really fast and they're like zip up boots. There's like nothing more awkward than, again, imagine me in my compression socks. Just would ruin everything.
The final thing I will say about Maggie that I have to say is I loved her outfits in these two episodes with her like kind of flared pant with a boot with like a plaid blazer. I thought she looked really great.
Yeah, she looks great. Her hair looks great. She's having a very large style moment, I feel like.
Yeah.
Compared to like, do we remember when we first showed up on the show? Like, I feel like she was like, they just hadn't like, she was just so focused on like her like intelligence. They didn't like ever show. I feel like I never remember seeing her in like these hot ass outfits like she is now. She's going to be a Chicago girly. I kind of laughed when they were talking about Chicago because it's like so close to us. And they're talking about like the winters and the pizza and which I prefer a Detroit style pizza versus Chicago.
That's fair.
I don't, deep dish is a little too much for me. Like I like it once in a while, but I prefer something else. That's all I have on them. Oh, the part I will say too, it was kind of sad. I mean, Richard's so old school, so boomer of him to be like, in my day, you got a job and you stayed there, you know, like you stayed there until you die, which is like,
I know. It's like, OK, Richard, like they teach you nothing of loyalty these days. It's like, OK, Richard.
I think he's just upset that his, you know, biological daughter is leaving.
And, and Meredith left, like so many people have left.
Yes. Which should we transition into Amelia maybe on that same topic?
Sure. Yeah.
This is the beginning of I do know Amelia has a bit of a crisis in this season. It brings forth maybe the one scene that I actually really like in the season when Addison approaches her about it in like the supply closet. I feel like that's a good scene. But I'm so sad for her. Like this is like to spend a whole day being vulnerable and like talking about everyone leaving her and like, I don't think she's being like Debbie Downer-y to Kai of like, you don't know how, like, I think she's just being very honest with like we've not yet been together in a time when I've been having a hard time, and I just want to warn you and all these things. And like, meanwhile, Kai has this secret in their head that they're going to be leaving and going to London. And I understand that Kai has to tell Amelia, but it was just so sad. The like tear that came out of Amelia's eye when she said it, or when they said it, you know, like it just felt like defeat, kind of.
Yeah, it sucks because part of me feels like, okay, it makes sense that Kai didn't say anything initially because Amelia was going through a tough time. Right. But then another part of me is like, but it's shitty that like Kai was there for like, as Amelia keeps expressing like all this vulnerability about fears of being abandoned, like that was the crux of like all of the stuff. And it's like, I feel like maybe it should have been brought up beforehand, you know?
Like, yeah. There was no good time, but that seemed like an extremely difficult time.
Yes.
To bring it up. Especially.
And also, it's kind
of, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, also, I felt similarly to kind of the Levi storyline, too. And we can talk about that. But like, it kind of feels like this came out of nowhere with Kai. Like, they've been fine. And then I imagine the actor wants to leave the show or whatever. That's fine. But like, it did feel like it kind of came out of nowhere, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like I'm moving to London. It was like, okay.
Right. And it wasn't even a, do you want to come with me? Like there was no discussion as to like what would become of them, like together as a unit. And I think we'll get more of that in the next episode. But oh, how defeating to be so vulnerable there. And then to just like hear that. It's also, I can't imagine. I mean, both your sisters, your brother died. Like, there is a lot of people that are leaving Amelia.
So, yeah.
It's a legit thing to be upset about. Okay, speaking of Levi, you mentioned him. I felt sad for him, too, that this cute guy that they've been seeing, he's just like, because he's, I assume he's a traveling nurse, and his gig was in Seattle, and now he has a new one in Arizona, but he didn't even tell him. He was just like, oh, hey, I'm in Arizona. Bye.
Well, and I wondered, I was like, was there a potential that maybe this actor was, like, going to be on Grey's Anatomy, and then, like, things shifted, or, like, they decided not to, or whatever happened, because it too, felt very, like random. I don't know. It was just like, you never seemed interested in what I was doing. Like, so I didn't tell you that I was leaving. Bye. And it was like, whoa.
And then
that's the end of that.
For them to spin it into like a Levi hasn't been, he's been distracted and he's been like, you know, just, I still don't quite understand what the teaching moment that Bailey was giving him was. I mean, she says to him that, she says, oh, I wrote it down. I realized my idea of myself had come. She's talking about herself. She said, I realized my idea of myself had come out of sync with who I'd become. You are chief resident. You are no longer an underdog. It's time to stop seeing yourself that way. But I don't know how that like necessarily equate. I know that's how he was being like mean to the interns, but I don't know how that equated to him not paying attention to this new fling.
Yeah, I don't know either. It really just felt like we have to get this person off the show somehow. And so we're going to do a random FaceTime call.
Right. So that was a bummer for him. I loved the Joe scene when he's asking her about her wedding and Simone's like, but don't worry. Like, I will make sure that I'm not gone. And he's like, I was just asking like when your wedding is. Like, I feel like sometimes when there are times when you're either with a friend or someone who's like in an authority and they ask a question and you like, try to like give all these reasons and they're like, cool. I just wonder. Yeah. Like there's no actually I feel like when my therapist asks me a question and then I'm like defensive. You know? But like she's not trying to argue with me. She's just wondering. Anyways, I don't know. They're at the bar together. Does Helm say, she says love you to him, right? Like when he leaves that one time after they talk, which I thought was cute as friends.
Yeah. I love how they interact. I have a note about that. Like,
yep.
Just the way they interact and talk to each other at the bar, I think is really cute.
Yep. Do you want to talk about Simone and Lucas?
Sure. All I have to say is bold.
Yeah. And also not a good idea.
No. Like, to ask Lucas to be her, like, man of honor. I don't know. And for Lucas to agree, like, no, boundaries doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, I think Lucas thinks that he's okay with it, you know, like that it won't be hard on him.
Right.
But I kind of love, I loved the conversations going on between Jules and Simone about, like, basically going back and forth about their ideas of marriage, and like Simone being like, you can be successful and be married. And Jules clearly has like an aversion to that. Oh my God, there is a literal foot sticking out of my stomach, everyone. Wow, it's so shocking when that happens. Like, you can see it. Like, I can see the shape of a foot. So weird.
That's so weird.
Sorry, distraction. So I also, you have a note. I see your note that says Yasuda is so weird. And she is. And she, to me, is currently, like, the most interesting of the new interns. Like,
yeah.
And does, like, funny things. Like when she's like, smells like cake. And then, like, they throw one at her. And she's just like, no fork. I don't know. And just her eating it out of the container or out of the trash. And I don't know. To me, she's, like, the quirkiest of them all. And I really enjoy her over all of the other ones.
Yeah, I think she's funny and quirky as well. Like, yeah, I when I wrote she's so weird, like, it was like in a, oh, she's weird and this is fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, a good way. Like, it's nice to have a character that isn't just like dramatic or like,
yeah.
Even like Benson's character things of being this like super overconfident is like not that unique of a character point yet, you know, I appreciate her. I just like her like franticness too, of like going to go give plasma and being underweight and then eating a bunch of cake that day. Like, there's just like funny, like, I don't know. She just makes me laugh. And I love that she fought for that one patient to get the lung scan. She could have easily just given her antibiotics and like said, see ya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's a good doctor.
I guess we have two more things, I think, just to touch on here. Bailey. Teddy and Owen and Bailey.
Or yeah. Okay. That scene with Teddy and Owen when Teddy's like, they basically just had sex in front of us. Like, when she's like, get a room. And Owen doesn't really notice it. And then Owen is like, we used to whatever. And she was like, no. And she just like leaves the elevator.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough.
Owen says, remember when you and me used to be like that? And Teddy says, nope, and walks away.
There's like no romance left for them. Because even in the scene when Owen's like professing his love about Teddy, you know, the first time he saw her. And then that patient is like, thank you for that story. I realize now she's not the one. Like, no one is impressed by this emotional story that he gives. I kind of feel sad for him in a way, but there is no passion in that couple.
No, but then at the end of the, I don't know. It's like, she still, you can tell, like, very much resents him, but like wants to have sex. Like, I don't know. It's, they're very odd. Yeah. And I think probably part of the reason they're staying together is for their children. And
yes. And because they can't possibly break up after all of what they've put us through. Let us remember, though, that Teddy did cheat on him on the day of their wedding. Let us not forget that epic moment. She'd be so much better off with Tom. Okay. Also, Link and Joe, it's funny that it's kind of like sometimes I feel like I tell Jake something multiple times, but it doesn't sink in until like someone else tells him, like a man, do you sure someone, and or just, you know, another friend. And then he's like, oh my God, guess what? Like, this is a thing. I feel like Link knows he loves Joe, but he doesn't really hit him until they straight up are like, you love her. And he's like, oh, you're right, I do. And then he immediately goes to profess his love. I was sad for him when he was putting all of the things away.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me when Derek was going to propose to Meredith and had all those like
flower petals, remember? And stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then had to throw them away.
Yep.
Bummer. We know. I don't know. They were annoying me the entire time.
Yeah. Like, that whole scene where they stayed home together was very annoying.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting, their conclusion that he can't rest unless his resting is because he's taking care of someone, and she can't rest because she does not know what it's like to be taken care of, which I don't know if that was them being like, so together we're perfect. but I guess it.
Yeah. Also, I did not like him pouring donuts into his mouth. Like, that was insane.
Yeah. And the cheesy, like, so you better look away now. Like, just dumb writing.
Yeah.
But I am all for them being together, despite everything negative that I just said. So, and then last thing, we're going to talk about Bailey, which I feel like the big stuff happens like coming, like whatever, this is the beginning of that. But I appreciate that Ben is concerned about her driving there. And
you know what? You just said the big stuff happens. And I literally have a note of like, I don't remember.
Well, I don't know if there's big stuff, but I just feel like this is the beginning of, isn't there someone that comes into the, I think someone comes into the hospital pretending to be a patient in the clinic and then like turns on her. There's something that happens where like her safety is in danger, I believe. I could be wrong.
Okay. I don't remember.
But I mean, this is the first time that she's been now pointed out as a quote baby killer.
Yes.
And Ben is right. Like, change your phone number. I do get her hesitancy. And she's like, I've had this number forever. I've had my phone number since I was like 15. So the thought of changing it is daunting. But clearly they're threatening her kids and it's just gone way too far. It is absurd to me that someone who's accusing someone of killing babies is using her babies to threaten her. It is the dumbest thing in the world. It would be scary to see all those flyers on your car.
Yeah, not see your wife's face. And like, I see where Ben is coming from. And I understand that Bailey was hesitant. Like, no, we're not going to let these people win.
Right.
But then realizing like,
it's bigger than that. Yep. Okay. Any other random thoughts, notes?
I have a random one note where like that. Maggie and Winston finish the surgery and Winston like takes a rag and like wipes the sternum almost like he was dusting. It was very odd. It was like, why are you like rubbing her sternum with a rag? It didn't make any sense to me.
I love the little boy. What is his name? His name is Grayson, who is concerned about his bat mitzvah and he's like studying for it. And that little realization of Richard being like, I didn't mean, you know what I mean? Like, your diagnosis was important to me. I'm not disappointed in you. And Levi's really great speech about that to Benson and to Richard. I thought that the bat mitzvah that happens in the hospital was going to happen this episode, but he must be on a couple of episodes, that boy.
Yeah, I thought so too, because I remember that, but must be coming up.
Yep, must be coming up. So, oh my God, I'm truly being assaulted from the inside right now. Why? I'm just trying to record a podcast. Do you think the baby's going to know your voice because of all these podcast hours?
Well, maybe not, because you have headphones in.
Yeah, but it's going through my ears. So it's like
down into. Yeah.
Maybe they'll recognize your voice over Jake's.
Maybe.
Mom? anyways, okay, let's do notes and trivia.
Okay, this episode's title originated from the song Cowgirls Don't Cry, originally sung by Brooks and Dunn.
This episode scored 3.3 million viewers.
Harry Shum Jr. has expressed interest in directing and shadowed director Chandra Wilson while filming the episode.
The episode's title originated from the song Shadow of Your Love, originally sung by Guns N' Roses.
And it scored 3.15 million viewers.
Perfect. Catherine Fox Award. Oh, Lord. Not Winston and Maggie. But they did save that person. Maybe Levi?
I don't know. Is Levi deserving of it?
I don't know. I mean, he gives that nice speech about Grayson. But yeah, that's about it.
Maybe Link? Maybe Ben?
Ben never gets it anymore, although all he really did was pick her up and drop her off.
Okay, so maybe not Ben. Maybe Link? I don't.
For donuts? There's no winners in this episode. I think we should give it to, what if we give it to, this is a wild card. What if we give it to the friend that drove their friend to Seattle and then used the loudspeaker to call Maggie Pierce to get her friend to surgery.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
And saved her life.
I feel like that's bold and she's a really good friend.
Yeah. I would do that for you.
Rating it, God, it's a 6. I can't, nothing. It was better than last week's a little bit, I was in a better headspace, but that's what I'm giving it, a 6.
Yeah, it was a little bit better. I would say 5.5.
Perfect. Stick around if you are a patron. We will be talking about our thoughts on season 20. And if not, thank you so much for listening and supporting us. And we'll be back next week. Time of death is 1416.